Hey everyone, Pastor Tim here. I pray that this sermon, this resource, will be used by God to grow you and help you flourish in His grace and sanctify you in your faith. This resource is not intended to and will never replace the benefits of being part of a church family. So if you're local, we would love to have you join us here on Sunday mornings. If you're not close, we encourage you to find a church home in your area. Again, we pray that this blesses you and grows you in your love for Jesus and sharing that love with others.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you today to open the Word of God. I'm John Adams, Pastor Emeritus, and we are in the book of Romans. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Tim was leading us through, and he was talking about how when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the penalty of sin is broken. Isn't that good news? Do you get that? You've heard that before. The penalty of sin is death, and that's what we deserve, all of us. But because of Christ, we're free. We're forgiven. This is good news, friends. And also, we learn that the power of sin more and more is being broken in our lives as we trust God and His wonderful gospel. And so Pastor Tim talked last week on living in the Spirit, and by that we are to set our minds constantly on Him. So we're going to dig into even more good news today. When we accept Jesus as our Savior and our God, we not only have the penalty and the power of sin broken, this is beautiful news. He gives every one of us who follow Him in faith the Holy Spirit. We have God within us. He chooses to dwell in the hearts of every Christ follower. Yay, right? This is great news. So today, I wanted to start with a quote from an old Puritan. His name's John Owen. He wrote such rich writings about grace and how we apply it to our lives. And I'm going to read the first part of the quote, and then I want you to finish it. How do you think John Owen would finish this quote? Put your best John Owen mindset on right now. And here it is. This is the quote. The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, God, the greatest unkindness that you can do to Him is, what would you say? Well, let me finish the quote for you. It goes this way. The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to Him is not to believe that He loves you. Now, does that surprise you? You see, God wants you to know that He loves you, really loves you. He loves you so much that He gave you His Holy Spirit to dwell in you. God, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit is in us. And He's not just there to hang out and kind of lie around dormantly. No, this passage shows us, like much of Romans 8, several of the roles of how the Holy Spirit applies the beautiful work of Christ to our hearts and our salvation. The Lord is our salvation. We sang it this morning. So we're going to look today at this amazing little passage from Romans 8, verses 12 through 17. And I'm going to start in verse 12 and remind you, as we do weekly, friends, family of God, this is the Word of God. Thanks be to Him. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You see, one of the roles of the Holy Spirit we find in this passage is this. The Holy Spirit helps us kill your sin. Verse 12 starts again, so then. It's also translated, therefore. You see, Paul is not saying anything new here. He's already talked a lot about this in the previous chapters, and especially in the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 8. And here he's saying, look, I really am committed to see you become sanctified. I want to see you grow more and more in the likeness of my Son, Jesus. But look, this is a gradual process, right? We know that to be true. You know, I grew up in a church school, and the teaching was like if you really came to that big surrender moment, then, you know, it was like as if you would never sin again. And you were expected, don't sin anymore. Once you surrender fully, you can't sin anymore. And so I really wanted to get to that big surrender moment. And we did a lot of that, especially when we went on church retreats. We did it annually. And we'd go away and we'd have those, you know, those emotional moments. And we'd come to the end of the week and there was a great teaching on that, or at least it was emotional teaching on it. And we'd come to the moment where we go out by this fire and they'd give you this piece of wood. And the piece of wood represented all your sin. And you were supposed to take that piece of wood and throw it into the fire, and then all your sin would be gone. And I couldn't wait to do it. And so I took the piece of wood expectantly, waiting for God to do something miraculous and kill all my sin. And I threw the piece of wood into the fire. And about 5 minutes later, I think I had some bad thoughts. You see, this is a gradual process. God works through us and in us. It's only when we're face to face with Him. My dad, who's here with us in this service, he's going to be 92 this week. Yay! Way to go, Dad. Yeah. But he talks about with me, so John, I can't wait to go to heaven because I'm going to have no more sin. Ha, ha, ha. Man, don't beat me there. Listen, the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and minds progressively. Again, that means it takes a long time, right? Actually, a lifetime. And so, when one day we will be completely sin-free, sin will be killed completely, and we look forward to heaven in that day. But until that day, we need to grow in learning how to trust the Holy Spirit to help us kill more and more our sin in our hearts. But here's the good news. Our sin, and we've seen that, Pastor Tim referred to this often, that our sin is no longer the controlling factor in our hearts. We have the Holy Spirit who controls us, and no longer the flesh. If verse 12 talks about this word flesh, what does that mean, the flesh? Well, it's actually describing the remaining sin in us, which we also know is our sinful nature. And our sinful nature, only the flesh, it says in verse 7 of chapter 8, it only leads to death and death-like things. Well, we need the Spirit that leads to life and peace. We saw that last week. As you trust God, His Holy Spirit gives you the power to more and more kill your sin. Paul calls the sin in verse 13 the deeds of the body. And these are things you cannot kill on your own. You absolutely are dependent on God. We are dependent on God. But as we trust Him, He does kill our sin more and more by His power. And in that process, we grow more and more in believing He loves us. You see, when we're remaining in our own sin and we're not fighting sin, we also doubt. God, how could you love me? But God, the Holy Spirit, does this great work as we trust Him. This is one of His roles. This Another role of the Holy Spirit we see in verse 14, where it says, the Holy Spirit leads us. Look at verse 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, sons of God describes, is both men and women, every Christ follower. So if you know Jesus, you are a son of God. And if you desire and are led by the Holy Spirit, He gives you a beautiful reassurance of this. He works in us to cause us to become increasingly confident that we have a new identity, that we are actually see ourselves as His family, as His sons and daughters. And so the beautiful thing is, He wants you to know that you're a son of God. Sonny, you're a son of God. And Brian, you're a son of God. And every one of you here today who trusts in Christ is a son of God. And as you grow in following the Holy Spirit, you grow in this confidence in knowing this and believing and trusting this new identity as His son or daughter. Again, by nature, we know this. We were once children of wrath. Can you imagine that? We deserved that wrath of hell itself. But by God's grace, family of God, we are made children of God. This is such good news. And again, Tim reminded us last week that the Holy Spirit lives in every follower of Christ. And His work is, He's not just this passive spiritual entity. He wants to work and make Christ's work powerful, heart-changing, and change your actions. And He reassures us that we are His family and we are led by His values. So the Holy Spirit does this more and more. We're going to see how He causes us even to cry out. Verse 16, Abba, Abba, Papa, Father. You see, we no longer have to be led by our selfish impulses, but now we can be led by Him as we submit to Him. Now think about how the children of Israel in the Old Testament were led. Remember when they came out of Egypt after 430 years, they came into the desert area, and it was a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as the cloud moved, the people moved. And when the cloud stopped, the people stopped. It's interesting. I believe that this spirit cloud fire was actually a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament times. That's called, the technical term is called a theophany. And there, that cloud or fire by night was the appearance of the Holy Spirit in a way that we, the people of God, could see Him. And now the Holy Spirit resides in you. You can't necessarily see Him, but you are just as much to be led by Him. And to be led, especially in knowing who you are in Christ because of Christ's work. Verse 14, again, the word led is in the continuous kind of voice. This means, again, that the Christian life is learning over and over again to say, God, I need to die to performance. I need to die to me, so to speak, Kingdom of John. And I need to live to You and Your work and the freedom. And that's freedom. You know, the other day, I just had finished reading the Bible, and I was just getting ready to pray, and I had this overwhelming, condemning thought about this man. Now, I knew it was wrong, and that's all I could think about. Friends, I just read the Word of God. And this thing is just like, and I'm like, God, please help me. Lord, I confess this condemnation thought. Forgive me. and help me to think your thoughts, Lord. And guess what he did? He did it. It took some time, and I had to battle with it. But he, over time, replaced his thoughts with thoughts of praise for his character. And actually, at the end of the prayer, I was praying for this man and his family, and I was actually thankful for him. This was a work of God. This is just one way that we're led as we remember who we are in Jesus Christ. You see, the third role we see in this passage of the Holy Spirit is this. The Holy Spirit boosts our confidence through prayer and worship. And we see this in verse 15. Look at it with me. It says, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." You see, fear is not the spirit. When you have fear, you know this right away. This is not God. This is the flesh. This is your sinful nature. And it does crazy things to us, fear does. You know, depending on your personality type, for some of us, we fear things, and then we're like, we got to like go do something. I've got to go make something happen. I've got to go perform. But for some of you, you get fear and you get bound up and you're like, I'm not going to do anything. I can't do anything or I won't do anything. But the fact is, we're all, regardless of your personality, we're all powerless in our own strength. You see, our sin, we've seen this in Romans 7 especially, our sin deceives us. We start thinking it's about me. I've got to do something or I can't do something. But look at, you have to come to the place where you recognize your sinful nature and you say, sinful flesh, you no longer have power over me. Lord God, remind me of who I am in you. Help me to know that I'm your beloved. Remind my heart that you have died for me and you have poured your Holy Spirit into my heart. And because he's there, the Spirit of God, he helps me to cry out in prayer and worship and praise, Abba, Abba, I'm in dependence. I'm in dependence on you, Lord. I'm trusting you and your work. I have a new identity with a new power because your Spirit dwells in me. Isn't that beautiful? Lord, the Lord gives you access to himself, the power, the living God who dwells in every one of you who know Christ Jesus. But you see, the battle begins with the thoughts, and a lot of times we just shut down there. If we don't battle ourselves, we're done. We're just going to keep going in a bad direction. But as you speak truth to yourself, some would say, preach the gospel to your heart, the Holy Spirit reminds you that you are fully loved, you are his child, you have a new identity, and he gives you the power to begin to respond in ways you would not ordinarily do. You begin to praise God. You worship personally. Your heart, when you sing these songs in church, when you battle in your mind with the gospel, they become powerful and real. They move you to remind you, this is what God has done for me. You see, we're no longer in just like a tit-for-tat business relationship with God. He is our Father. We are his family. And the Holy God is your Papa. And as you realize that, as we realize that, our prayer life will be enlivened. More praise and thanks will happen corporately and personally. You will grow in enjoyment of sitting in the presence of God. You will become more generous in your life. It's going to impact you in many different ways. This is what the Holy Spirit does as He boosts your confidence in prayer and worship. But fourthly, and these are just four roles we see here in Romans 8. There's many more of the Holy Spirit. It says in verses 16 and 17, the Holy Spirit grows our confidence in our new family identity. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. When we are adopted as His sons or daughters, the Father again places His Spirit in us. And we've seen two roles where He does to convince us of our sonship. That's our identity. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit again strips us of fear. Verse 16, the Spirit gives us a deep experiential assurance of our family relationship with God. What does that mean? Some of you say, well, I don't know if I've had that, John. Well, keep trusting Him. It's not about an experience. It's about growing in the confidence of the gospel and really knowing God. And the beautiful thing of what God does is the Holy Spirit says He testifies to our spirits. That's what it says. Do you see that? We know, testifying to our spirit, that from John 14, 26, that the Holy Spirit is to remind us of everything Jesus came to teach His disciples. And the word testify means to bear witness, technically, or to warm our hearts to believe the good news. Do you need your heart warmed to believe the good news today? Man, I know I do. And here it says He testifies, the Spirit testifies to our spirit. What's our spirit? Our spirit is literally the word breath or wind. The spirit of man is not like a ghost trapped in a body. It's actually our spiritual awareness or our sensitivity to God. It's like a spiritual antenna that we grow in tuning more and more as we come to Him in faith, simple faith and repentance. We tune our spirit to His. You see, and spiritual sensitivity isn't just gaining more information about God. Certainly it is gaining more information because that's good. Good doctrine is really good. But it's more than that. Jonathan Edwards, a preacher and founder of Princeton University and an iconic American thinker, described Romans 8:16 this way. He said this. He said, when God's promise is more to you than anything else, I not only know the care of God, I sense His care. So Lord, help us, this promise of Your Spirit testifying to our spirit. Take Him on that. Lord, pray this week, Lord, testify to my spirit. Show me how sweet it is that I am Yours. I'm a family member of God. I'm Your kid. You love me that much. Show me how sweet that really is. The Tribble family of North Forsyth, or of Forsyth County, they produce, they have beehives, and you can go get honey there. Lizanne goes there and buys some honey there. And the first time she brought the Tribble family honey home, I want to tell you, it's like I never had tasted honey before. It was so rich, so delicious, so sweet. I mean, it just like almost was like overwhelming how good that taste really was. You see, there's a difference between hearing that honey is sweet and tasting honey. And there's a difference between knowing and hearing, just hearing that God is good and tasting that He is good. He wants you to to, yes, know and sense that God is good and that He is your Father. He loves you with an amazing salvation love. No love is like His love. And He wants you to know more and more about that love. And you see, that's what verses 16 and 17 are about. The Holy Spirit takes God's wonderful word, the Bible, and warms our hearts to believe, as Ephesians 3 says, how deep and wide and high and long is the love of God for us. This is good. And He warms our hearts not only to believe that, but to believe that we are heirs. Did you know that? But look at, He not only says we're heirs, what does it say there? We are, what kind of heirs? Fellow heirs. Another way of saying that is co-heirs. So what does it mean to be a co-heir with Christ? So if two brothers inherited an estate as equal heirs, then the estate would be divided into two equal parts, and they would be given the same amount. But if the two are made co-heirs, then both have equal rights to the total inheritance. They both look at the total inheritance as theirs. You see, this is the mystery and the beauty of God's adoptive love for you and me. He calls us co-heirs. He says that the total inheritance of Christ is ours. Can you believe this? How big is the total inheritance of Christ? What is it, class? Everything. He owns it all. He is Lord of the universe. And we share. This is mind-blowing. In the total resources of Christ, we are co-heirs with Christ. This should cause us to say, God, I'm blown away by Your love. I'm amazed by You. I can't believe that You would love me in this way. And see, in this promise doesn't mean that our circumstances are all just kind of fine and rosy, right? Verse 17 says that as a part of the body of Christ, we will share in His sufferings. And remember, church, that Christ suffered the biggest pain at the cross. He took your wrath and my wrath and the wrath of all those who believe in Him upon Himself. He was tortured and died on the cross. And yet we will suffer little pain compared to Him, but still hard for us, right? You know, suffering with Him does mean persecution, but it means more than that. We see in Romans 8, 17 through 25, it describes the brokenness of this world, job losses, relational disappointments, sicknesses, accidents, and cancer are all examples of this suffering we all will face. And we should not expect a trouble-free life if we become a Christ follower. But through the pain of life, through the struggle, may our confidence grow in knowing He loves us. Not just words. He's established an eternal relationship with the deposit of the Holy Spirit who will live with us in us forever until the day we are face to face with Jesus. Friends, this good news should change our hearts, minds, and lives. If you know in your mind and heart the love of God, you can face anything. And the main thing the Holy Spirit teaches us to know and sense is God's love for you and me. Just remember, again, this quote. This is a guy who is much smarter than probably most of us. John Owen, the greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him is not believe that he loves you. But listen, he does love you if you know him. And if you don't know him, you can receive that love today. Will you? Will you trust the Lord's love for you? So as we prepare for his supper, his meal, I would like for you to just take a moment to meditate on this question. Is your heart warmed to believe that you are loved by God? Take just a few moments and we'll come to the table together.
Thanks so much for joining us for this podcast. For more information, you can visit us online at thevinecc.com or visit us on Facebook or Instagram at thevinecc. Have a great week.